This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a two-year-old calibred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadie Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Green Poo Basher on the 45. Well, it's Green Poo Basher on the 45.
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and coming up next at Royal Ascot, the Gold Cup, the famed 2.5 mile event. And we'll go 2.5 miles in advance of it with Steve Haskin. He's home in Jersey, and he's wearing his morning suit and his top hat, and he's watching the action there, having, I guess you could have strawberries and champagne there. It's not Wimbledon, but I'm sure they offer them. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I am, as a matter of fact, in my morning suit. It just happens to be called pajamas.
Right. Exactly. Well done. Well, you love this week. And
it's also my evening attire.
That's right. That's right. It's a 16.
Multi-use.
You're making me laugh.
All I need is the top hat.
Well, there in men's clothing, there's, you know, what's known as a 10-month suit that you can wear, you know, from any time except for the middle of the summer. You've got 10-hour clothing or maybe more.
No, my clothing is not 10 hours. My clothing is 50 years. I wear my clothing until they evaporate. You know, like dandelion spores, until you can actually blow them away and they puff away into the
fall.
Air. That's when I know my clothes are done.
The fabric just disintegrates.
This just disintegrates. Once it disintegrates, I still wear them.
Well,
I haven't been in a men's shop in 25 years.
Well, you don't need to go to men's shops because the clothing is sent to you for free. We discussed this in New York.
I know, but I can't go to formal places wearing a Donegal stable jacket.
That's true. Well, you've been to Royal Ascot.
I did have to buy a suit, though, for my daughter's wedding. I have to admit that. I gave in.
And you look great. You looked fabulous in that.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. You absolutely did. This is one of your favorite weeks of the year, and we've had so much fun ever since we went to the mornings after being an afternoon show, and the ability for us to play these races. This race, of course, the Ascot Gold Cup. The Queen, she 2 years ago that she won it, right?
I think 2013, I think.
13. Oh, so it's longer. Wow, it's that long ago.
Well, nice last year you had that incredible finish.
Yes.
I mean, that was remarkable. And I tell you, I can't remember a Gold Cup where you had three such top class horses running as you do today, and they're from three different countries, and it's the most fascinating Gold Cup I can remember. I remember, to me, one of the most emotional races I ever saw was when Yates won his fourth Gold Cup. I mean, I was actually at Royal Ascot when the French colt Cigarro broke the record and won his third straight, and that was a big deal at Royal Ascot. But when Yates won four straight, I mean, what you have to do to win four straight Ascot Gold Cups, it's just absolutely amazing. But this year, you've got, you know, Order of St. George, who had won it and then was just beaten half a nostril last year. And to see two horses come down the stretch like that was unbelievable. And then from Ireland, and then from England, you got Stradivarius, who looks like a tremendous horse for who else? John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. He's the best stayer in England. And then you've got Stradivarius, Aga Khan from France, who's won two pre-Royal Oaks, which is the French St. Ledger, and he's won the Dubai Gold Cup. I mean, he's an incredible horse. I mean, he's won like 16 out of 23 races, something like that. I mean, he's got an incredible record. I mean, with these three horses facing off, it's going to be remarkable. And all these horses have a lot of ties to American breeding too.
Well, let's keep an eye on this group. And you mentioned Order of St. George, and last year Big Orange, an absolute thriller. We were together at the same time, and there was also the presence in there, one of my favorite horses over the last literally six, seven years, Sheikh Zayed Road. He's a big price here today.
Oh, yeah.
Vizirabad for the Aga Khan, and certainly a stout international
campaign. By the way, Vizirabad's third dam is a half-brother to Swale by Spectacular Bid.
Hmm. Very cool. We will keep an eye on those numbers since we went in this direction, Steve. Before we stay on with the Ascot Gold Cup, obviously, just had Wesley Ward an hour ago get his win. At least he'll have one, no matter what happens.
As close as it gets. That other horse was in front like a half a stride past the wire. In fact,
true.
He was in front. He had his head down right before the wire. And Shang just got her head, because it just got the bob on the way down at the wire. That was a heck of a finish. I was so happy for Wesley Ward. He had some, you know, he had some tough luck. Yeah, you know, the American horses, you know, actually, you know, with the exception of Lady Aurelia, who just really didn't fire at all, even in defeat, the American horses run. I thought Yoshida ran a tremendous race. He got beat about a length and a quarter or so. And Baquero, I thought, ran a tremendous race. Just got nipped for fourth. Was not beaten that far for second. I thought he ran an excellent race. So, I mean, our old horses have been running well. You know, we've still got more to come. You know, we've got that colt, Gidou, who looks like he could certainly do something. You never know. What's Todd Fletcher's record at Royal Ascot?
Well, somebody ran pretty good, right? A couple of years ago?
I think he had a filly that ran well in the Coronation Stakes.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it
Neither
was.
Neither can I.
But she ran like a very close fourth or so.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we've seen some strange things happen with Americans. I mean, look at Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom he got all worked up, you know, seeing the Phillies, which is supposedly what happened to Cracksman in the Prince of Wales Stakes. Yeah, well, the race before, the Duke of Cambridge was, you know, for Phillies, and they were leaving. He was coming, and he was squealing and making all kinds of noise. So that that does not help. But that's supposedly that's what happened with Animal Kingdom, and he just never showed up. This was after winning the Dubai World Cup, and he came. And I was actually surprised that they ran him in that race on the flat, going the straight mile in Queen Anne instead of going around the turn in the Prince of Wales Stakes, which seemed to have fit him better and fit his style better. That straight run, that straight mile run, it is tough, which is why you have to respect a filly like Tepin. What she did in that race was pretty was pretty remarkable. That's a grueling race. I mean, it's undulating, and the last part is all uphill, steady uphill run to the finish. And it's really, really a tough. It's really a tough race on a horse. You got to be very tough, and you have to have stamina to go that straight mile. So I was actually kind of surprised that they ran him in that race, because American horses usually do not run that well on the straightaway on the longer distances. Wesley Ward has shown that you can just do it with pure speed, and that's the way. That's the way he's won most of his races, just by getting out there. You look at how Lady Aurelia won the first two times at Royal Ascot. She just blew him away right out of the gate.
Your thoughts regarding the Gunthers and their wonderful win?
God, unbelievable. You know what's really amazing, too, by the way, is that the owners and or breeders of the first two finishes of the Belmont Stakes, both have won major stakes at Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Phoenix Thoroughbred with Gronkowski, and you look at the Gunthers, but, I mean, to breed a Triple Crown winner and then a week later win a Group 1 at Royal Ascot? I mean, you're talking about being on a magic carpet ride. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't be happier for them. They're great people. I mean, they really are. And I knew that Tanya was going to lose it, because she loses it all the time. It doesn't take much for her to lose it. But, you know, here's a gal who was, studying pedigrees at the age of seven years old. She was studying pedigrees, and she does all the matings, and it's a small operation. In fact, John Gunther, he comes to the farm, you know, three, four times a year. He's up in Canada most of the year. And Tanya's always traveling. She's in France a lot. But, I mean, to be able to do this, to breed. And listen, they came within $1,000 of owning Justified, too. Because, John Gunther put a $499,000 reserve on it. And it just, it went up. And Winstock got him for $500. You know, so they just got it for $1,000. If they didn't make that last $1,000 extra bid to get over the $499, the Gunthers would have kept Justify. Of course, things happen. If you didn't go to Baffert, obviously things might have been different. It's just incredible. In fact, John Gunther said that this was a bigger Royal Ascot was a bigger thrill than the Triple Crown.
Well, he owns. I mean, being the owner, this was his. I was surprised that this was his first runner at Royal Ascot, and he's been going 20 years.
Yeah, no, he's been dreaming of Royal Ascot for a long time. You know, but I mean, it's just incredible. Just look at the horses they've had. Remember the one year where they won the Florida Derby and the Godolphin Mile on the same day.
That was the Tamar Coos and
Tamar Coos, his brother, right? With that parole's brother, and they won it with Materiality, the Florida Derby, and then Tamar Coos wins, or the other way around. Tamar Coos won first, wins the Godolphin Mile, and they win, and Materiality won the Florida Derby in his third start of his life.
Yep.
But to breed those horses, then they had that really unfortunately was ill-fated, that Stradivari. Yeah. Who looked like he was going to be a star in the making.
Well, Materiality was ill-fated on that topic.
Well, he never ran after the Belmont Stakes. Right.
And then died.
Yeah, I know. But you know, he at least got a grade one out of it. Stradivari just never really. I remember a lot of people were giving him a big shot in the Preakness when it came up sloppy with Nyquist. But I mean, to keep breeding horses like that,
yeah,
with a small operation, it's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, it shows you that they're doing something right. But I couldn't have been happier for them. You know, to beat Aiden O'Brien on top of it, but not only did they breed Justified, and not only do they own Without Parole and bred him, but they're both undefeated. I mean, that makes it even more incredible.
That's true.
And let's not forget Vino Rosso. I mean, he's going to win. You know, he's already a major stakes winner with the Wooden Memorial, and he just got beat a photo for third. And they could have easily run 1-3 in the Belmont. He just got beat a photo for third in the Belmont Stakes, and he's going to win his share of stakes. So they bred him too. In fact, Justify, Vino Rosso, and Without Parole were born in the same month. They were all the three horses are running around the field together, almost the same age.
That's fun.
I mean, can you imagine that?
We've talked about this before, and in fact, yesterday at Belmont, well, I was involved. You had, I'm going to forget which one it was, but Clear Sky had bred one of the winners, and it is amazing
that's another amazing operation too.
Well,
it's come from nowhere,
and it's unusual, not unusual, I suppose, but it's one of the things that we see so many times where there's just a concentration, and for whatever reason, the breeding community, you know, will produce these clusters of success, and it's amazing. And I would be curious what the explanation for it is, whether it's just you know, a confluence of picking certain sires and you know getting enamored of sires that you then use for covers, and I don't know. I mean, it's a discussion worth having.
I'll tell you one thing though. I know it's early in the year, but if the Gunters don't win the Eclipse Award for Breed of the Year, something is definitely wrong. This is one time you cannot go by to looking at the list of money winning breeders and picking Frank Skronik or somebody like that who's at the top of the list. I mean, what they've accomplished now is enough. I don't care what happens the rest of the year. What they've accomplished with not one or two, but three horses.
Yep. Yep. And there's more. There's horses out there that are campaigning, and then there's going to be the 2-year-olds that are going to show up. I mean, there's others. There's a horse.
Justified's brother. We'll take charge. What he said is more spectacular looking than he was.
Yeah, we had John last Monday, or Monday or Tuesday, Monday, and he said, "I'm keeping this one." And he said, "You know what was interesting, Steve, and not to turn it into a breeding discussion, but he did note that the dam that he says he sees the dam very much, in Justify and in the Will Take Charge, Cole,
right." And he's got a Pioneer of Denial to fall too, so he's got a lot to look forward to from that mare.
Very much. Well, looking forward here. Let's give a quick rundown: 8-5 and 7-5, Stradivarius and Order of St. George, clear favorites. But Vizierabad right in behind at 5-1, and then things.
Watch out for him. Watch these Aga Khan horses, you always have to respect.
We like the Aga Khan. We like saying Aga Khan. just click down to 9-2. The other horse in single digits is Desert Skyline, 8-1. And when you've got a 7-5 and an 8-5, the fact that you got a fourth horse in single digits is notable. Let me check the let me check the bookie shops. And, yeah, Desert, yeah, the same order. Order of St. George's favored, Stradivarius second, Verzira Bad, Desert Skyline, and then Torcedor is the fifth choice. And on the tote, Torcedor is actually the sixth choice at 18-1. Jessica Harrington sends out this one.
Well, the thing is, you know, speaking of pedigrees, you look at Stradivarius's pedigree. Stradivarius's third dam is a mare that most people are going to look at and have a clue who she is. And she's one of my favorite fillies of all time. Her name is Pawnees, and she was owned by Daniel Wildenstein, and Angel Penna trained her. And one of the reasons she was one of my favorite fillies of all time is that I was at Epsom when she won the English Oaks, and she won the English Oaks by 7 lengths, and she was like a gazelle. She was like one of the most prettiest, beautiful, moving horses. In fact, I took an unbelievable photo of her that they used in the Daily Racing Form. But she, you know, she's always been one of my favorites because, you know, that was the first major race. It was 1976, and it was my first time in England, and it was my first big race I saw. So to see her win the English Oaks. And then she did something that has never been done before in history, before or since. She wins the English Oaks by 7 lengths, comes back, and wins the French Oaks 9 days later. Hmm. Only filly to win the English Oaks and the French Oaks the same year, 9 days apart. And then she beats the best colts in Europe in the King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. She was a great, great filly, and nobody knows who she is. But when I saw her name in the pedigree of Stradivarius, I got very excited because I had not seen her name in pedigrees. But so I mean, just to see her name as the third dam of Stradivarius was very exciting. But I mean, just imagine that English Oaks and French, and she rocked in the French Oaks too. But to win both Oaks in nine days apart, we're talking Europe, 9 days, and then to win the King George on top of that. So just a couple little pedigree tidbits to keep a look for.
Pedigree notes. Steve, last week we talked, and I was at when I was at Monmouth, a couple of minutes here before we dig in and enjoy the 2.5 mile Ascot Gold Cup, today's Group 1. We're watching and waiting, of course, and it feels like Baffert is trying to keep everybody at bay a little bit regarding Justify and the rest of the schedule. But from what we're seeing, hearing, and sensing, the Monmouth trip looks like it is the likely next stop. Some thoughts about what might lie ahead here.
Well, listen, as everybody knows, it's very difficult to win the Haskell and the Travers. I mean, you got to go back to Point Given, and Point Given barely won the Haskell. And he ran probably, you know, other than the Derby, probably the worst race of his career. He just barely won in a, you know, beating two inferior horses. And so it's very difficult to do. And, you know, as we saw with American Pharoah, but we've already, Justify has already shown that when it comes to what has or has not been done, throw it out. It means absolutely nothing. If anybody can do it, it's certainly him. So, I don't see Baffert passing up an opportunity to run. Maybe he'll do things different. Maybe he'll keep him east and won't ship back to California and then to Saratoga. Yeah, I think what did American Pharoah win, because he had done a lot of traveling that year. But what did him in was traveling, going to Monmouth and then back to California and then to Saratoga and then having that ridiculous gallop the day before, that open gallop where he basically ran off. And I think that was just enough. And then to compound it, yeah, having Frosted go head-to-head with him like that. So it just, you know, things just didn't work out. But, you know, for years, Baffert was saying that he hates the Travis because he never does well in it. So what does he do after, you know, he winds up winning the next two runnings with Arrogate and West Coast, you know, who both romped in the race. So, you know, as Baffert's another one, by the way, don't go by history. You know, Baffert said he doesn't do well in the Travers, and he wins two in a row.
Well, Eve, whatever it's going to be, I think at the very least, getting him to run whatever, whether it's two or three times the rest of the year, just to truncate and obliterate, you know, the narrative. Oh, he'll be retired 17 seconds after the Belmont.
I know.
It drives me nuts. We heard the same stuff about American Pharoah.
Yeah, all the skeptics say, you know, they just say it for the sake of saying it. You know, it's just they're just people that are just so negative about everything. But I mean, I just think when this horse comes back, I mean, Monmouth's going to be a wild place.
Yes.
Just like it was with Pharoah. You know, a lot of people look back at Pharoah and, you know, and remember how, you know, what a wonderful, kind horse he was, and they fell in love with him, people coming and petting him and so, and I think it's hard for a lot of people to grasp the fact that you do not want to do that with Justify.
Although, he sure seems to be, we'll see about the California, he's going to parade again Saturday. We'll talk to Hammer about it tomorrow and to Tom Quigley next. But it does seem, watching him, like he's kind of clued in now. And when you watch that ceremony at Churchill, the posing, the turning.
Oh, no, he's great with that. I'm just talking about in the stall. Did you see somebody... Somebody posted something on Twitter. They posted this gigantic black and blue mark all over their arm, and they said,
"Yeah, but you know, he's not malicious."
By the way, we visited him. I got great shots of Joan feeding him carrots. And like Baffert said, if you feed him, you know, carrots, he's fine. And Joan was feeding him carrots and petting him, and he was fine. But he has nailed.
His share?
Several people, so, you know, it's just...
Did you see the picture of Davis Rogers, of Darren's son?
What kind of picture?
With Justify.
What was he doing? Was he petting him?
No, he's got his back to him, and Justify is nuzzling and nibbling his ear. It's the greatest picture I've seen. It's unbelievable.
Well, I didn't see that. Where was that, on Twitter?
I think Darren put it either on Twitter or on Facebook, or both. Go to Derby Media and look at his pictures, or maybe on Facebook. It's wonderful. There's also, I've seen now a handful of pictures of him with children, and even even the nastiest horse.
Oh yeah,
I can
attest to that.
Yeah, they are okay with children. It's amazing.
I went through that with Mandy. I would be with Mandy with horses, and Mandy would be petting them, and they'd be like pussy cats. And then I'd find that afterwards, and they'd say, "Oh, you don't want to go near that horse." I said, "Oh, really?" I mean, I've no horse. The only time a horse ever went for Mandy was like the broom. Made a mistake and did the wrong thing and Lost in the Fog went and nailed her. But all the years since she was a baby, being around horses, no horse ever tried to bite her.
Yeah, they're incredibly cognizant of innocence. It's amazing. You see it whenever I've brought families to Shed Rows, and when you walk down, you know, you're watching for the ones with gates, the one with that has a traffic cone as an indicator. You know, for those of you that are ever, in fact, since this came up, for those of you that are ever have a chance, you walk by a Shed Row, you know, sometimes at Saratoga at night, if you're walking back to the Oklahoma and you know, there's plenty of barns and places where you might wander through. When you see one of those orange traffic cones in front of a horse, that's a warning.
Lady Eli had one. You didn't want to go anywhere near her. It's funny, by the way, to give you an idea, by the way, of how long a race the Ascot Gold Cup is, by the way, the race is going off now as we're speaking.
Here we go.
£2.3 million he has won in his career so far, with 15 victories from 22 starts. He's narrowly ahead of Desert Skyline, who's against the running rail. Sylvester D'Souza behind him, William Buick on Max Dynamite. Winning prize money, £100,000. But with two places in the Melbourne Cup, he's won £800,000 from placed efforts. They've completed their first mile. Downhill they go now and on towards the halfway stage. There'll be about 10 to 12 lengths between them, with Mount Moriah continue to lead. About two lengths ahead. Torcedor in second place. There'll be a length and a half, maybe two, to Order of St. George holding third place, and then a length and a half behind him to Stradivarius as they pass the mile and a quarter start, so they are at halfway in the Gold Cup. Sheikh Zayed Road, a white and red jacket for Martin Harley, is next, and then Vizirabad, green colours for Christophe Soumillon, round the outside of Scotland, and Jim Crowley in pink and green. About a length and a half behind those, Max Dynamite, William Muir has just moved up on the outside of Desert Skyline, and they share 8th and 9th positions. So at Swinley Bottom, about to turn right-handed now, and they are in the final mile of the contest, still about 10-12 lengths first to last. And Mount Moriah continues to gallop along in front with a couple of lengths advantage. Torcedor, the orange jacket, in second place. The favourite and previous winner, Order of St. George, a length and a half behind in third. In white and red, Sheikh Zayed Road has moved around the outside of Stradivarius with the yellow cap there in fourth and fifth places together as they begin the uphill run towards home. Scotland's a length and a half behind those, then Vizirabad. They're followed in by Max Dynamite, and now Desert Skyline is the back marker. They head now past the 5 furlong marker, so heading towards the home turn. Order of St. George in third position is chased along a little bit now. Mount Moriah is still leading by a half length to Torcedor in second. Order of St. George is three parts of a length behind them in third, but Ryan is hard at work at the moment. A length and a half behind him, Stradivarius. Frankie hugs the running rail, and then comes Sheikh Zayed Road. They're turning now for the home straight, and Torcedor in the orange has come alongside Mount Moriah. Order of St. George is plugging on in third position. Here's Stradivarius in the black and yellow towards the outside. Vizirabad is still stalking them in the green colours. They head down to the two marker. Torcedor with a length and a half lead. Here's Stradivarius round the outside. Order of St. George is battling on. Vizirabad between those at the furlong pole. Four in line. Stradivarius, the yellow cap. Vizirabad in the green colours. Frankie Dettori on Stradivarius. Christophe Soumillon on Vizirabad. Stradivarius is narrowly in front. He leads by neck or so. Stradivarius has won the Gold Cup. Second is tight. Vizirabad and Torcedor together, three or four lengths behind those to Order of St. George.
Stradivarius should absolutely come down, and he comes in at least three paths in here. He interferes with Vizirabad, who then interferes with Torcedor, and I doubt that anything's going to come of it. I mean, in fact, and he also cuts off Order of St. George, who really didn't have horse.
The thing is, Order of St. George was beaten before they even turned for home. He was being hard-ridden so much that
there was nothing there. But I'll be very interested to see if there's any hubbub about this at all. Dettori acting like he did something heroic, if interfering with your two key foes is a heroic performance.
Well, it'll be interesting to
we'll
see what happens. I thought for Zirabad, when he it looked like he was splitting horses, it looked like he was going to come up, and then Stradivarius just kept coming in on him, but it was tight. I don't think they ever made contact, but he did put the squeeze on Stradivarius, no doubt, because they wound up almost on the rail.
They were
out in the middle
path
of the track, and they wound up on the inside. In fact, the third horse ran. He just got beat for second. I mean, I thought he ran a terrific race, but they won't do anything because I don't think they made contact. I think it was. I think he was.
we've discussed this about herding so many times for us domestically, and you know, there's no. They do have a head on, and I wonder if we'll. There is a head on angle I've seen this week. We'll see what happens. I thought this was ridiculous, frankly, and you could see it happening in slow motion. Basically, Torcedor ran a fabulous race.
Oh, he ran phenomenal. He's the one. Looking at him and looking at the Order of St. George, you could see who was much, much stronger. I'll tell you one thing, by the way. Regardless of that, I mean, Frankie Dettori and John Gosden, boy, I mean, they're just tearing things up at this meet. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable.
Well, we'll see. I don't sense from... and, of course, one of the funny... You know, one of the funny... They're staying with the video right now, GBI, but one of the funny things about this Royal Ascot coverage, Steve, is how... here's the head-on. Here's the head-on now. And so he produces Stradivarius from behind horses. He's out.
What are you watching? Where are you watching this?
Because I'm watching it on ExpressBet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm watching it on NBC Sports.
Here we go. So he comes in one path. Now he's going to come in a second path. He straightens there. All right. He straightened. He did straighten. He's going to get away with this. He made
there's
sure.
No, there's no way in the world. Yeah. There's no way in the world they're taking down Frankie Dettori.
No, I know Gosden. The pan, and I'm not going to say that the pan makes it look worse than it was, but what he's doing is he's bringing Stradivarius eye to eye. Here's Vizirabad now, who actually may have put his head in front for a jump. And then, listen, he was the best horse, Stradivarius, in the end here as you watch the final strides. A nice horse.
You look at the success these two have had, and they wound up getting beat on the horse that everybody thought was the biggest lock of the meet. Now I'm seeing they're showing the head on now.
He came in mid-stretch and tightened it up, but... He's gonna get away with it. You know what's interesting? Looking at this, at watching this horse, he doesn't look like a horse that's a natural stayer physically. He looks
They won't even look at this. I mean, there was absolutely no contact.
Well, this is what I love. They go from a race like like the Gold Cup, which they were running for $675,000, was the purse, and then they go to places like Ripon and
yeah, right.
and you know, some of the hinterland.
That's why I love the coverage, the ITV coverage. You know, along with NBC Sports. He definitely the first time he came in on him, he definitely shoved him in quite far.
Yep.
Yeah, the second time was not quite as bad because he was already close to him. But the first time, he really he shoved him in about three or four paths.
There's
absolutely zero chance of even an inquiry.
Well, Steve, before we wrap up, and we're on vacation next week, so we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. But start to get focused in on the summer. We'll actually have Belmont Derby and Oaks to look forward to, and the Suburban and the Dwyer, including the aforementioned Mendelsohn. But I wanted to see if you have you seen Blood Horse yet with Lenny's Sonny Jim piece?
No, I have not. I'm pretty used to Belmont issue.
Okay. Well, so, but I've seen some initial reaction to it. Just people, apparently, from everything Lenny already told me, just remarkable. He found Fitzsimmons' relatives. He found people that worked for Sonny Jim. Pretty amazing.
I know. He spoke to a lot of people. He told me that.
Yeah, it's going to be well worth seeking out. Steve, enjoy the rest of the Royal Ascot. Thanks for a great first half of the year. And we'll
Don't forget the Ohio Derby coming up. 500,000 group race, not a bad field.
Any quick thoughts in there?
Well, I mean, Flame Away obviously looks good in here, and Lone Sailor. But I tell you, the horse that you have to keep a watch on is that Core Beliefs. It looks like he's getting.
I agree.
He's getting really good. But the thing is, in this race, you got the runners up of the Bluegrass, the Tampa Bay Derby, the Louisiana Derby, the Sunland Derby, the Peter Pan. You got Core Beliefs, who was third in the San Anita Derby. You got a horse who was beaten two lengths in the Preakness. So it's it's not a bad race. The depth of this crop that you still you get a big field like that and some really nice horses.
I think didn't Core Beliefs also enter. At home?
In what?
I thought I saw...
Well, they just ran the Affirmed last week, so I don't know what he's running.
No, I thought I saw him enter yesterday in something else.
There was nothing in the PPs on him entering.
No, somewhere. Maybe not. All right. I don't know why I...
I thought he ran a terrific race in the Peter Pan, actually. I mean, he went head and head the whole way and, opened up. And then, he just got to him at the end. But, finished well clear of the third-place horse. And Blended Citizen beat him, in the last. But he got off to a bad start and ran greenly in the stretch. But, he did come off a maiden race and was third to Justify in Bolt Oro in the San Diego Derby. So, well beaten, but still. Could be he could be any kind.
Steve Askin, everybody. Steve,
have a good vacation, Steve.
Thanks so much. We'll catch up.
You know
with Steve.
You know what you ought to do for your vacation?
Yes. What?
Stay home.
We're gonna mostly stay home. We're gonna probably do an overnight or two. We'll go to the Thousand Islands for a night or. Maybe up to Montreal a night.
Oh, good. That's nice.
Yeah, we're going to do a little here and there.
There's a lot to do up there.
Well, we love going. That's where we were married, Thousand Islands, and so we always go. Steve, thanks.
Well, have fun.
I appreciate it. Steve Askin, folks. Take a break here. Probably our last of the morning. We got all of the Royal Ascot action in. For the day, and I got to get to Quigley. I want to get Tom Quigley on here, and Tom was gone a week. He actually took his own little time away and was, I think, in Vegas for a couple of nights. But with just one more card to draw, they'll have the Sunday card. Hammer, terrific season. And Justify really has been the running, the engine on the train, really right from the time of the debut in February. Get some thoughts from Quigley. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk. I'm trembling and I'm shaking. And when you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart stops dough and a Saint Vitus dance, and I'm panting and I'm shaking. Early in the morning time, late in the middle of the night, whenever this chill comes over me, I wanna hug it with all of my might, and I'm sweating.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to fill out this Thursday, day three of Royal Ascot. Two more races to come after we get off the air. Right at noon, the Britannia, the 1 mile for three-year-olds, and then the King George. And we've got, that's a mile and a half. And there's, I think typically, pretty bulky fields in these events. And some bulky fields to close out the last Saturday of the Santa Anita season, the San Carlos on Saturday, and really some very good allowances early. The pick five that starts the card, terrific. And there's also some maiden races that caught my eye. And Tom Quigley, who we haven't had a chance to talk to the last couple of weeks as things got frantic around the time of Belmont, joins us now. Tom, good morning.
Steve, great to be back with you. Watching Royal Ascot brings back good memories. Good to see North America well represented. Wesley Ward, Joel Rosero, and even John Gosden. Those of you with long-term memories who have been in the game for a while, remember John trained in Southern California back in the days of Charlie Whittingham. Did very well back then, and good to see him have continued success. He always does well at the Breeders' Cup as well. So it's a great spectacle, great television production, and North America learn a lot from some of the things they do over there.
Well, it's been, as usual, a little bit of everything. There's been crazy prices. There's been big performances from reliable types, and it's had all, you know, everything that we've come to expect. And of course, with NBC covering it, with Nick Luck familiar to North American audiences, it really NBC's embraced it. It's part of the Breeders' Cup now. Winning, you're in. There's all kinds of important ties. So it's really become kind of a fun post-Triple Crown highlight. And speaking of post-Triple Crown and highlights, well, Justify on the rubber chicken circuit, as they say. hit the banquet circuit, and you got to be careful about putting too much in front of him. Going to close out your season on Saturday night.
He's back home, Steve, where he belongs, where it all began. Good to see him back at Bob Baffert's barn here. in Arcadia, California. As you indicated, 12 races on this coming Saturday. Of course, Sunday is closing day. They'll draw for that. They'll draw for Sunday later today. First post of noon Pacific, so that's a little bit earlier than normal, 12:30 every other day. And Justify will parade in front of the grandstand and in front of the crowd between the fourth and fifth races. That is going to be a fun day.
Yeah, and even ahead of that, a quick glance, because later today, I noticed a couple of things. That when Doug O'Neill was with us earlier in the week to celebrate Pavel's big win in the Foster, and in a horse that they never lost confidence in, they had him facing off against top competition, and boy, he put it all together. We talked at the time with Doug, and I had forgotten until I was poking around PPs today that Bizwax I brought up with him, first time starter, 5-1, been working very well at St. Louis Ray. That comes in the third race today, 5 furlong, Phillies, 2-year-olds, and John Gunther has presence in here. He bred the 4. She Rocks the Look for the Robesons and Peter Miller.
John Gunther, good to see him with a victory over at Royal Ascot. He's actually on Twitter. You can follow him. He's a master of all trades. Obviously, he's a tremendous breeder, a tremendous racing fan, tremendous owner. And it's interesting to see, like you said, that him and Peter Miller kind of hook up here. Of course, the Robinsons bought this horse privately for $100,000 in the Keeneland September sale. That's a relatively small price for the Keeneland September sale, but nevertheless, anything that the Sarmo and Miller team up, which they do when She Rocks the Look in today's third race, as you mentioned, always dangerous. And Doug O'Neill, all you need to know about him is not only is he red hot at the current spring summer meet, but all of his 2-year-olds are firing. You go back and look over the last month or so, they've all been running extremely well, most of them in the winner's circle, if not in the winner's circle, certainly in the money. And so Bizwax, just off of his recent hot activity, certainly has to be respected with his go-to guy, Mario Gutierrez.
And while we're on the topic, because I brought this horse up with him as well, tomorrow, the fourth race, you've got the boys going 5 furlongs. And among the players, Parsimony for the Redham team, this was a $400,000 March purchase and one of the very notable sale players out of that March sale. This is a Pennsylvania bred out of a Lily T mare and made noise by Dominus, ran well in the debut, but fell just short and kind of rallied wide. You also want to look at Pirate's Punch. This is Bill Morey, and of course Morey with the stake win over the weekend we should talk about. This is a Shanghai Bobby colt that is a half to both Girvin and Cockton Loaded, a $90,000 Keeneland September sale purchase. And keeping my eye on Pirate's Punch tomorrow, 6-1. Make it 4-1.
I was going to say, Steve, I can tell you I'm really starting to get excited about the maidens, as I think most horse players are, because now we're starting to get into the marquee summer meets. We start seeing it here at the tail end of the San Anita meet, and then, of course, we'll see it in full bloom down at both Del Mar and, of course, in your neck of the woods at Saratoga. And that really comprises a lot of the racing cards at both venues. And so it makes for not only, you know, great spectacle, but also kind of interesting to see how they kind of all separate themselves as we get into the bigger stake races later in the summer and into the fall. So that kind of feels like the race we've got in tomorrow's fourth race that you're indicating. I can tell you the owners of Pirate's Punch are very high on this horse. Unfortunately, he drew a bit of an inside post number 2, but you know, you can see the usual suspects: Rockingham Ranch, Peter Miller, Jeff Bondi is using Gary Stevens a lot, which is what he's doing in this maiden race. So it looks like the fourth race potentially could be a key race as we look at it maybe 30-45 days down the road.
Nice. Well, before we talk about the whole season in retrospect and get a perspective, we're on vacation next week, Tom, and then we'll look toward Del Mar and toward the action at Los Al that'll placehold until we get to down to Del Mar. The Justify wrap up. Let's start there. And you and I did not get a chance to talk, right in proximity to Belmont. And as you watch this story, you know, come to a pretty satisfying conclusion, your thoughts.
There's two thoughts that come to mind, Steve. First of all, it's incredible if you think back to the beginning of the year where everybody thought McKenzie was Baffert's number one bullet. Lo and behold, McKenzie went to the sideline, but no problem. Justify steps into his footsteps and basically carries the torch all the way through the Triple Crown Series. Just an amazing run, considering that the horse had never started since February this year. That's well documented. But the other thing that really comes to mind upon reflection as a handicapper is, I really should have known when Justify won the Kentucky Derby that he was well on his way to winning the Triple Crown. And the reason why I say that, and it's not red boarding, it's really something that I thought a lot about in retrospect. When Good Magic, the Breeders' Cup champion and the two-year-old champion, loomed up to Justify at the top of the stretch at Churchill Downs and couldn't get by him, that really was significant. And, you know, Good Magic was my pick in the Kentucky Derby. I would have tripled my bet at that point of the race. And Justify kind of, you know, just brushed him off like a flea. And then in the Preakness, obviously, the tactics were different, whether they were intended or not, but the results were the same. And so really, the Belmont was a coronation. Gronkowski, I think, was the real surprise of the race. Hats off to Chad Brown. That horse was in a different zip code in the Belmont and came running late, but never really a threat to Justify. So can he beat older horses? Who knows? Who cares? The run he's been on up to this point has been magnificent. I'm anxious to see what his campaign will look like for the remainder of his three-year-old season. But he is obviously one talented horse that looks tremendous, that obviously has a lot of blue sky in front of him, in capable hands, and it's going to be an exciting summer no matter where he shows up, because the place is going to be sold out and all eyes will be on him, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it also, from the Baffert perspective, Tom, I mean, you've seen him operate for years, and when he has a horse with talent, there's nobody who extracts it the way he does. And right?
I was going to say, Steve, I'm pretty sure you're an NBA fan and a 76ers fan to some extent, and their whole motto behind their entire team is trust the process. And really, that's what it comes down to, the Baffert conditioning program as well, right? In other words, he has a process. There's no mistaking that he drills his horses very hard. Most horses can't stand up to it. Most trainers would never allow their horses to do it. But the ones that survive, and you think back over the history books, whether it's looking at Lucky Point Given, whoever the horse might be, the ones that can survive that intense training are the ones that go on to become champions. And that's what we've seen with Justify. He hasn't missed a beat. He's pressed on him incredibly, incredibly hard and incredibly strong, and he never reacted to it. You can see that even in his post-race gallops after the Belmont, both at Churchill Downs and here. The horse apparently has not really taken a step backwards. And that's just, like you said, a credit to the regiment, the program, the process that the entire Baffert team has. It's not just Bob. It's Jimmy Barnes. It's all his other assistants, exercise riders, whoever it might be that's affiliated with that barn. They've been down this path before, and they know what it takes in order to win a Triple Crown, and the results, you know, speak for themselves.
Very much so. Well, let's also, Tom, in advance of the end of the season, touch on, you know, the things that have stuck with you as the winter turned into spring and early summer.
Well, you know, I'm always focused on the business side of our business, Steve. And I think that, again, I'm employed by Santa Anita, so perhaps I'm a bit biased. But I do think that overall, the current winter and spring-summer meets combined have been nothing short of a real success. And the reason why I say that is we've not only been blessed with good weather, but Mr. Ritva, who basically this was his first time that he was in charge out at Santa Anita, where it was his cup of tea to play with, he made basically a mandate to increase the field sizes because he understands the horse players and the gambling side of the business. And he also placed an emphasis on turf racing. And he also understands that horse players prefer to play turf races than dirt races. And I think mission accomplished in all those respects. And again, it's an entire team effort. Hammer and his crew did a great job. The trainer supported the entry box. They know, they understand that this is it, that we need to increase the business in order for the Stronach family, whether it's Frank or Belinda, to continue to maintain an interest in Southern California racing. So to me, outside of individual horse performances, the business side of the way things went really went very, very well. And I think the future is bright because I think that, you know, down the road we'll attract more horsemen from around the country. I think that will help the wagering handle, getting some big barns in here and kind of changing up the horse population and the running lines a little bit. You know, that's part of the success behind meets like Tampa Bay. They have so many different shippers come in that it makes for a great puzzle from a handicapping standpoint. We need more of that influx in Southern California. I think that's going to happen under the direction of Tim and the rest of his management team that's affiliated not only with Santa Anita, but with the entire Strona Group nationwide.
Well, there's, yeah, we'll follow up, of course, leading into the fall and the summer season, where I think one of the difficulties, obviously, Tom, has been when people are used to a circuit, and you know the long-term effects of the absence of Hollywood has really made it that much more challenging for everybody, and trying to keep it fresh when you stay at one venue for an extended period is really challenging. And this was the third, maybe I'm losing track, but that's a challenge that that doesn't go away, and makes it very difficult for everybody on the horseman side, on the players too, because you need to stay fresh, and there's nothing better for that than the move to another venue, and for the trainers, and I know that they broke the meet up statistically, so that it's the natural winter meet and then the spring summer meet, but still it puts a real strain on everybody. It's a testament to the racing office that that the cards are as good as they are, and as fun to play, and it's not done easily.
It's one of the things in the business they call event fatigue. In other words, having to go back to the same place from a repetitive standpoint. In our case, it was 6 months. I mean, you look around the country, there are not many meets, if any, that are 6 months long. No. Aqueduct and Belmont obviously break it up a little bit. We don't have that luxury anymore. And primarily Los Alamitos was there at an important point in time to step in and somewhat rescue the industry. But the concern is that they don't have turf racing. And that's not their fault. It's just a reality. And as a result, we lost trainers like Tom Proctor and others, because they didn't want their training regimen broken up three different times throughout the course of the year and not have the ability to run on turf course. So, Southern California's problems are a much bigger issue than just Santa Anita. But given what we have to work with, and like you said, given the way that the field sizes have held together, given the way that the turf course has held together, I think it's been, short of miraculous that we've been able to accomplish what we have.
Now, a couple other highlights, certainly Accelerate. Justify, it's hard not to think of him as the horse of the season, but Accelerate deserves some credit.
Accelerate, winner of both the Gold Cup and the Santa Anita Handicap, always puts a smile on my face, Steve, as I know it does with you as well. Whenever Ronus Racing is successful, they put a lot into the game. They're very loyal to trainer John Sadler. Victor Espinoza doesn't ride many runners this day, but certainly Accelerate helped to put some extra money into his bank account. Nice horse. I mean, it would be cool. It's not going to happen, but it would be cool to see him and Justify hook up in the Pacific Classic. Very doubtful that would happen, but I'd like to see Justify run against older horses sooner rather than later, but I'm sure there's a different plan in the Baffert barn. But, that's what makes the game of racing so so great, is always anticipating the future, not only with babies and maidens, but also as the three-year-olds start to compete against older.
Some other names, both personalities. We already mentioned Doug O'Neill, had a terrific, just top to bottom. Michael McCarthy, seemed like, I was reaching out for Michael. I'm just thinking about the calls that I get to make to trainers. Mullins, River Boyne, and It's in the Post, certainly with a notable winter. Bill Spar, Midnight Bisou, became one of my favorites over the course of the winter. Certainly got to throw that one in. Who else stayed with you struck
you? I'll touch upon the three that you mentioned, and it's funny how many memories can be created during that six-month period. But Mike McCarthy, affectionately known as Whitey on the backside and with his friends at Santa Anita, with City of Light, obviously has done a tremendous job. It's no surprise that he's been successful with a relatively small barn. Many of your listeners, if not all, know that he was a longtime assistant for trainer Todd Pletcher. He had to undergo some rough times in his personal life, as well as his father-in-law passed away, who was a big racing fan as well. And so hats off to his barn having, you know, quite a bit of success with a limited amount of starters. Jeff Mullins, who would have ever thought 2, 3, 4 years ago we'd be talking about his two best horses being turf runners, but there they are. And River Boyne, an exciting 3-year-old, and won just this past weekend. So I'm sure we'll see him down at Del Mar in the Oceanside in that 3-year-old turf series that they're well known for. And Bill Spahr, it's amazing. He's getting close to 80 years old now, or 80 years young. You'd never know it looking at him, but he is literally in the paddock every day for every race, marking horses. Him and his assistant, Daryl Rader, do not mark the horses together. They mark them in separate spots in the paddock. They go back and compare notes, and there's no mistaking that whenever they claim a horse, you have to look 5 times at why they claimed a horse, because they mean business and they know every single horse on the backside. Daryl's also a morning clocker as well. So they've got all angles and all bases covered, and whatever success they have, they've certainly earned it.
Well, certainly absolutely earned our appreciation all season long, Tom Quigley, and we'll look to the summer months, and we're going to utilize Quigley's corner when it comes to Los Al and the quick season there before we head to Del Mar.
And Los Al, in case your listeners missed this, made an interesting move on their wagering menu. They are increasing their 2 50-cent pick 4 wagers to a minimum of $1 to be consistent with their nighttime signal. It'll be interesting to see if that improves or doesn't improve their overall handle. But it's an interesting move, and it'll be an interesting experiment, like you said, during their 12-day meet.
Tom Quigley, everybody. Quigley's Corner. And, of course, Tom, your guide at Santa Anita and all the contest play. We talked to Pete yesterday. You had everybody come through again last weekend, Tom, and that was a big hit. The betting challenge, been a great addition this winter, Tom Quigley. We will send you out into the race day. And, of course, we're about 2 minutes away from this next Royal Ascot Endeavor, and this group, big bulky field, so take a shot. I haven't had a chance here to really look carefully at the Britannia, and then of course all the racing action that includes back at Belmont today, and I mentioned Santa Anita back running, Churchill, and much more. Want to thank Tom and Steve Haskin and Tony Black and Andrew Hawkins. We'll talk to them 2 weeks. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, weekend preview, to wrap up the first half of the year on At the Races. Good luck today, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.